Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, where Jesus appears on the road to the two on the way to Emmaus that you heard read earlier. There are many places in this world that people go to find purpose in life or improve their relationships and even to achieve financial security. The world and the devil tease and tempt you with a wide array of prophets. Prophets who will preach sermons to you to soothe your itching ears and speed you on the way in your pursuit of happiness. And that's all okay if all you need in this life is a life coach or a motivational speaker or a financial advisor. But to whom do you go when your whole world has turned upside down? You've been upended and emotionally adrift in an open sea. To whom do you turn when your road is dark and lonely and you're staring death in the eye? Well, I would suggest you certainly need more than a cheerleader or someone who's going to tell you stories about puppy dogs and unicorns. You need a Savior. In his great foreknowledge, before the foundation of the world, our Lord God saw you adrift in your open sea of sin and on your dark road of transgression. And he sent a Savior for you. This is the Savior who ransomed you from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb, without blemish or spot. It is true, you cannot see our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Holy Scripture teaches that they are found and revealed in word and sacrament. In his Small Called articles, Martin Luther writes, "We should and must constantly maintain that God will not deal with us except through his external word and sacrament. Whatever is attributed to the Spirit apart from such word and sacrament is of the devil." It's the day of resurrection. Two disciples are distraught and on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, discussing all the current events. Their world has been turned upside down. All of their hopes and their dreams have turned into a living nightmare. So leaving the company of the others in Jerusalem, they head for home. Might as well get back to regular life. And as they walk and talk about these things, a stranger approaches them from the rear and joins them. It's Jesus, but blinded by their unbelief, they don't recognize the stranger. And the stranger engages them in conversation. What are they talking about? "Guys, tell me, why are your hearts so heavy and your faces downcast?" Being so distraught, they stop right there in their tracks and they begin to pour out their despair and their sorrow, unknowing that the very one who has the ability to open their eyes in faith is the one they're pouring out their sorrow to. The two spoke of Jesus of Nazareth, a mighty prophet in word and deed before God and before men. They had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. But now he's crucified. 3 days now, dead in a grave. In these two's hearts, Jesus is as good as buried forever, never again to be seen. Now, to be sure, they did hear the news that morning. The women had told them they had seen a vision of angels, that Christ was risen and he was indeed alive. Others ran to the tomb and found the tomb empty, found the burial cloths lying there, but no one saw the Christ. These two did not believe. they had fallen from faith. Jesus, after patiently listening to their sorrow and lamentation, notice he doesn't try to console them with puppy dogs or trite and empty words. He cuts right to the chase, saying, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Emmaus disciples were in unbelief. They walked away from the empty tomb and salvation. But rather than allowing them to walk on to eternal damnation, Jesus approaches them. He comes after them and rebukes them and explains that his suffering, death, and resurrection, everything foretold in Scripture, was necessary. It must take place. And so, beginning with Moses and the Torah and all through the Old Testament prophets, Jesus opened up their hearts and their minds to what the scriptures meant so that they would believe. You know this, what this means? This means that the entire Old Testament, in every thread and theme, points to Christ Jesus, him crucified and resurrected for you. You see, the Bible is a book that is not only to be read and preached, but it also requires interpretation, that is, revelation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, here in our text this morning, Jesus gives us a lesson in how to read the Holy Scriptures correctly. In his own interpretation here, all Scripture must be read through the lens of the cross, the lens of Christ crucified and resurrected. This means any preaching that does not include Christ crucified and does not proclaim the gospel. It's not teaching unto salvation, but promoting false hopes to soothe your itching ears, or perhaps to give you a moral compass, or to guide you in your pursuit of happiness. But what is more life-saving than Christ crucified? St. Paul tells us the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It was a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and reaching the destination, the stranger asks if he's going to continue further on down the road. But the day is almost over, and the two wish to hear more from this stranger, so they urge him to stay at their home. And when it comes time for the meal, the guest assumes the position of head of the household. How strange. And at that table, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples' eyes are opened when they see something that perhaps they had seen in the past. Was it at the feeding of the 4,000? Or was it at the feeding of the 5,000? Or when Jesus sat to eat with tax collectors and sinners? Our text says Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. It was in the blessing and the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened. They knew that that was the Christ. They knew Jesus had risen. They believed all the words of Moses and the prophets and believed that Jesus was indeed alive and risen from the dead. And at that time of night, even though the day was far spent, the two immediately returned back to Jerusalem along dangerous roads, 7 miles in the dark, and found the other disciples excitedly proclaiming, "The Lord has risen indeed." Notice in our text, our Lord never forces himself upon the Emmaus disciples. Yet while still in their unbelief, literally walking away from the empty tomb, walking away from salvation and the resurrection, Jesus comes to them in his word. He doesn't force the conversation, but simply asks why the two are so distraught. And they pray to him, if you will. They pour out their heart's sorrow and grief. And after their prayer of lament and anguish, the Son of God comforts them with his word, opening the scriptures to them, while at the same time the Holy Spirit is going to work in their hearts and their minds, kindling faith within them until those hearts are no longer cold, but kindled into a burning flame and enlightened. They begin to understand the scriptures correctly, as they had never done before. My friends, the cure to your sin and tribulation in this fallen world is not a life coach. It's not a motivational speaker. The cure to all disease and sin is found in Christ crucified and resurrected. He alone has the words of eternal life. Are you blinded by unbelief? Are you looking at the world through rose-colored glasses and at the hopes and the dreams that you have in this temporal world? Do you trust in the false saviors of the world? Or are you regularly in God's word, allowing for Jesus to speak to you through his word, regularly reading and hearing the proclamation of God's word through the lens of the cross and Christ crucified, trusting him alone for your salvation, life, and forgiveness of sins? You know, we notice in our text, each and every one of us are at risk. It doesn't name who these two disciples are, but we are led to believe that they are disciples of Christ. They have been following him. So that tells us that even us who are true Christians are at risk at falling into unbelief. We are weak. Without abiding in God's word and allowing the Holy Scripture to regularly open up the scriptures to us, you and I don't know how to grasp them and understand them. You see, life-saving faith is much more than having heard the history of Jesus dying and rising and being able to regurgitate it on a test. No, that's then when the devil comes and steals away that weak faith that has been sown in your heart. And being baptized and confirmed in the faith without regularly receiving word and sacrament and ongoing catechesis, meaning ongoing training in your faith, fertilizing and nurturing your faith does not gain root. So, and similar to the Emmaus disciples, when your world is turned upside down, your life has become a nightmare, you're at risk at falling completely away from our Lord. Fellow redeemed, the pandemic has exposed your sin and unbelief just as it has exposed mine. Fortunately, our government has declared all of our false gods as unessential. Our sports, our social activities, our occupation, even our income, they're all unessential when it comes to your eternal life and salvation. In our unbelief, we fear the loss of temporal goods and the death of the body more than we are concerned about eternal damnation. In the words of St. Peter in our first reading this morning, brothers and sisters, what shall we do? We repent and we believe the gospel. You have a Savior who came for you. He lived, suffered, died, and rose from the grave for you, for your benefit. You were united with Christ in baptism and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit now calls you and keeps you in the true faith through the hearing of the gospel. You see, all Holy Scripture, Old Testament and New, has been written for your learning, So hear the gospel proclaimed, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word, allowing that Holy Spirit to work in your heart and your mind, so that by the patience and comfort of our Lord's word, you may embrace and hold ever fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Christ Jesus. Now be sure, he's not going to come and force himself on you. He's not going to come and give you visions and dreams. He isn't going to mystically touch your heart, promise you temporal treasures or glory. He isn't going to come and display his miraculous visions for you and miraculous deeds and wonders. And it's not that he can't do those things, or on occasion, maybe he does do those things, but the truth is, power, majesty, and glory do not save you. It's only the word of Christ and the blood of Christ that saves you. Scripture teaches that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It teaches faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And the Emmaus disciples in our text this morning are testimony of its proof. Before I close this morning, there's one other pattern Jesus sets in our text this morning for the Christian church. You notice as they sat down at the table, or before they got to the table, first there was the teaching, then there was the eating. Scriptures are opened, and then the bread is broken. And this is the same pattern the church has followed for the last 2,000 years since Christ walked on the earth, from the very earliest of the days. Word and sacrament on the Lord's day in the presence of Christ, where two or three are gathered. First, the preaching of the gospel, Christ crucified and risen for you, and then Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. I think Luther may have been right. This is how our Lord God deals with us. He comes to us in his external means, in word and sacrament. Today, as in on every Sunday, Christ Jesus is right here among us, opening the scriptures, breaking the bread, feeding you in word and sacrament unto eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.